Talofa, Bula, Malo. Welcome to Pacific Rugby Players Radio. All things Pacific Rugby, all things about us. A place where we take time to talk the big and small issues, share stories and have a few laughs with current and past Pacific Rugby players around the world. So whether on the team bus, driving home from training or on the physio table, sit back, chill and dig down deep on the issues that affect us. Pacific Rugby Players. Here's your host for today.
Bula vanaka everybody, welcome to PRP Podcast today. My name's Aidan Clark of Pacific Rugby Players. Really looking forward to our chat with Tony Kopilane and Alfie Ulioneu today, who are in the police force in New Zealand. Now, the police is actually a career post-rugby that interests many. When our PD team is across the world having coffees, catching up individual plans for players, thinking about what they're going to do post-rugby career, often questions come up around joining the police force and how do you do that. Now, these two men have done that. They've returned from having established careers both through New Zealand and around the world, and are now making their waves through their career in the police and are both at different stages. This is going to be a good chat. Both really quality men, fantastic rugby players in their time, and really passionate about their jobs. So sit back, have a listen with us, start downloading all the processes that you need if you're thinking that police might be for you, and no doubt there's going to be plenty of information that's relevant for everyone.
Welcome everybody. Good to see some familiar faces back for our PRP workshop. Kick off another week of personal development. It's actually a fabulous subject to touch on today. Speaking with our PDM team around the world when we are doing workshops with various players and talking about life after rugby, often the question around the police force comes up. And so to have two former players join us today to share some experiences, to talk about transition out of rugby, and to walk us through the processes and what it's like to be working in the police force is fantastic. And I'm sure I can see plenty of people online now who have got some questions and are ready to go. So without further ado, I'd love to like to welcome joining us today. For those who don't know these two men, Alfie, flying Fijian, played in Japan, I believe also did a little bit of coaching before moving into this career. And Tony is obviously Canterbury Crusaders, Junior All Blacks, played overseas in France for a fair bit before returning back to New Zealand before hanging up the boots. Both men are now working in the police force in
Internet from Aidan is crashing, so I'll just text him.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I think we can hear everybody. It's just the internet from Aidan. So we'll jump back.
How do I turn my microphone
off? I'm back. Apologies, everybody.
There you go.
My rural broadband here letting me down this morning while I'm going through that great little intro for both of you. So we might just dive straight in and get into it. I was really sort of talking you both up there for a bit, but actually I was offline. To start off with, Alfie, Tony.
Who's on mute?
This is Anthony playing up again.
Yep. I think it is. You there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. I think just waiting for Aidan to...
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Sorry, Aidan's internet is playing up.
Okay.
Sorry about that. As Lima said, the coronavirus has got to Aidan's internet. Oh, he's back. I can see him moving.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, here we go. He's back and forth.
Aidan, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, yep. We can hear you.
Just cool. Kicking off, just want to ask these two gentlemen where they are now, what they're doing, where they're living.
Cool. I'll start then. Can anyone hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Cool. All right. I'll start. Hey, welcome everybody. Thank you for inviting me into this workshop this morning. As Aidan has introduced myself, I'm Alfred Ulunayel from currently living in Auckland. Like I said, I played professional rugby for 11 years for the Flying Fijians, and then I was in Japan for 9 years playing up there for the Suntory Sun Goliath team up there. So I'm currently living in Auckland, back in Auckland at home. This is where I was brought up. My parents moved here when I was 9, so pretty much Auckland's been where I've been most of my life. As a police officer, I'm currently a sergeant at the Mount Wellington Police Station in East Auckland, looking after 10 constables. So, that's me. It's been challenging, but also very rewarding as well. So, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I'm based in Christchurch after my rugby career and finished up in France. Me and the wife and three kids, we moved back to Christchurch. I'm living out in Rolleston, and I'm based at the Hornby Station, just 10 minutes from home. So I'm currently a youth aid officer in Hornby. So yeah, that's me.
Nice, man. Just to dive a little bit more on the end of your careers, could you tell us about your decision making, about why and when you decided to step out of the game and move on to something else? Start with you, Tony.
Yeah. So for me, I finished at the end of 2012. I was in Grenoble playing in the second division. They call it the Pro D2. We won promotion to the top 14, and I had a plus one option on my contract to play another year. But I had a talk to my wife, and we decided, you know, do we play out there one more year or come home and set up life after rugby? So obviously we came home, and I just thought it would be best for us to come home and set up for life after rugby. And for the kids to start school back at in New Zealand. So
was there temptation to play on and to take that extra year?
Nah, there wasn't really. We just had a good think about it. And, I was at the end of my career. I was 34, and I didn't think I could carry on for another couple of years. So we thought, come back home and set up for the rest of our lives at home. There was no temptation to stay home, stay overseas.
Yeah, nice. And what about you, Alfie? Was it injury? Was it age? What was the
I think same as Tony. So I finished up in 2004. I was getting towards the end of my career. I finished up when I was about 34. I had some niggling injuries. We had discussions with my wife also. We had a little young daughter. We made a decision. It was time to come to head back home, and my wife also to pursue her career as well. You know, she had supported me in my career, so I think it was the decision to be made for us to go back home and settle and set up, and allow my wife also to get back pursuing her career in academia. So yeah, but, in the end, it was an easy decision. After family discussion.
And Alfie, I understand you may have done some coaching sort of at the back end of your career. What did you do there first, and then why the pivot into the police force?
I I did go back to Suntory and coach there for a couple of years as assistant coach. It was something I thought I'd try. I was still passionate about the sport, so and I wanted to give back a little bit for after rugby giving me so much and providing me with so much opportunity. So I did go back to the club and coach there for a year. We did win the championship that year, and but it was something. I think the police always in my mind. I always wanted to do when I was young. I've got back in Fiji. I've got families in the police force, in the military. I've got friends here in New Zealand also in the police. So it was always something I wanted to do. It was always something I was passionate about. So, yeah, I did enjoy my time at the coaching level at Suntory, but the police was always something I wanted to do. I was more passionate about doing and going back and help, working in the community. So, yeah.
So nice. So you're following a passion that you always had there. Tony, what about for you, bro? Like, at what stage did that sort of enter into your mind that this is what you wanted to pursue?
So I grew up watching my my two brothers go in and out of prison. You know, they chose a different path when Dad passed away when we were young. So just watching, you know, Mum go through the heartache and that, at a young age, about 17, I've always wanted to join the police, just be that role model, and especially to our Pasifika people. You know, help others not go through what I went through. So yeah, that was a big drive for me. Just you know, seeing my brothers go in and out of prison, that was my drive.
And so yeah, obviously massive drive there. What's the process like? I'm sure that's what everybody here wants to dive into. Start with you, Tony. If you're thinking about how do you first engage with police school?
So the recruitment process has changed from when me and Alfie went through. There's a new process now. I actually spoke to one of the new recruits yesterday, and he gave me a list. Everything's online. You can look it online, but the main things is the assessment day. They test on your verbal, your numeracy, and your abstract. So basically your English, your maths, and the abstract test. And then you go through the physical tests. You got to run, I think now they go by your BMI, your body mass index, and you do the 2.4K run, a vertical jump, press-ups, and a grip test. And there's 11 points, and you got to try and accumulate those points in each category. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So obviously that's changed a lot from what probably you've already thought that it would be. When did that change happen?
Yeah, it's all changed, and now they have a 3-month distant learning online, and you got to pay $700 for it. So we didn't have that when me and Alfie through. Yeah. And obviously after that you go through the candidate pool, so you kind of ranked, and then you only go to college when there's a vacancy in your district. So,
okay. That obviously that internet option really probably opens the door for guys to possibly start the process while they're still overseas. Is that fair to say? And well, $700 is nothing to someone like Lima, but so that means that they can go through that process and get started, which is something that didn't exist before.
Yeah, they can go through it now, start the process now, put the application through, and then the recruitment officer will give you dates on when you can do the assessment day and the physical test.
Yeah, nice. Alfie, what about placement? How does that work? So somebody probably ideally would want to be placed in their hometown or where they desire to live. How does that work?
Yeah, usually now, wherever you've come from and going into college, usually the organisation will we'll send you back to where you come from. So they won't randomly send you anywhere around the country where you don't know. So if you've come from Auckland, majority of the time they will send you back to Auckland. So even now they'll have wings. They go to college all from Auckland base, so they'll all go back to Auckland. I've had guys from Christchurch where Tony was that couldn't join up for certain reasons for no vacancy, so they moved up to Auckland just to join the police and base themselves in Auckland until there's vacancies back in Christchurch, and then they went back to Christchurch. So there's always ways of working around joining depending on vacancies.
There's obviously a higher demand in certain areas of New Zealand, so possibly for players if they were wanting a faster track to get in, thinking about a relocation for a period would be something you'd have to consider.
Yeah, that's definitely. Obviously, Auckland is probably a high demand city where we're recruiting heavily at. If you want to fast track your career into the police, then that's probably what you'll be looking at, definitely.
Yeah, nice. Tony, if you were a player now and thinking and hearing about this process, internet, what would be the tips that you'd give immediately for someone who was interested in pursuing it? Like, where do they make first contact, and thinking about what you know now compared to how you did it? Just a couple of pointers.
So the process is quite long. It actually took me probably 8 to 9 months to actually, from the time I put my application through to the time I went to college. So that process is quite long. You just have to fully commit to it. Some people, when they fail one part of the process, there's a stand down period, and that can be discouraging. So I just encourage you guys, if you guys are thinking about joining the police, if you do fail one of the assessments, don't get discouraged. Just wait for this stand down period to finish, and then get back on it and just fully commit to it, because it's all worth it when you graduate and you become a sworn officer. Especially like a place in Christchurch, there's not many Pasifika or Māori police officers, so it's quite awesome walking around, and people come up to you and ask you about the recruiting process.
Just what from Tony is saying about being fully committed. When I came back from rugby, studying again for the test, it was a whole new thing for me again. After being in my career for 11 years and having to study for the test again in terms of your English and maths abstract, that was quite challenging. So I actually failed twice the test before I actually passed. And so like Tony said, just got to commit to it and just keep working hard and just learning as much as you can. And then when you do pass and you get onto college and graduate, it's so rewarding for yourself and your family to see you pass and go through that. So, like Tony said, don't give up. If you do fail the process, keep plugging away and seeking to get help. That's what I did. So, like I said, I failed twice before I actually passed the process and went down to college.
The Alfie, on those tests, I'm guessing that most of the players online will probably back themselves to pass the physical tests and get through those. Done. Yeah. Tell us a bit more about the theory, or actually both of you, question for both of you about the theory. What's hard about it? And if you're a player at home now thinking, yep, this might be for me, what are things or advice that you would give that they should probably sharpen up on to prepare themselves for those types of tests?
Yeah, so for me, I just went online and, on the new COPS website actually gives you an example of tests that they do. So timed tests, because the tests are timed, so I think in terms of your English tests, it's 35 questions in 10 minutes, So they do a lot of questions like, what is it? Plane is to fly, as cars to drive, things like that. Real, it's a simple test, but you just got to get your mind through it. And the strategies, got to have a strategy in doing those tests. Because it's timed, you've got to work out a good strategy. I think the math, I'm not sure if it's still the same, but I think it's 25 questions in 8 minutes, you know, so you're working under pressure, you know, so I think that they're testing you under pressure, you know, so it's good to have a strategy. So yeah, there's a couple of examples online that you can try, and then there's workbox in terms that you can have a look at just to practice. It's done online. There's a lot of information online that you can access, to practice and see what the tests are like.
Yeah. And Tony, what about you, bro? Was it, you know, easy, a breeze, or did sweaty palms freaking out?
No, I was pretty shocking at school, so it was pretty daunting, you know, the theory stuff. So I actually got myself a tutor to help me with my English and my maths. I was lucky. So my wife's mate's husband, he helped me with with my English and maths. So he came around like twice a week, and we just went through some little exercises. So that really helped me a lot. They said they encourage you to start reading books and that, just to build your vocab, because when you lock someone up and you have to send someone to court, you've got to write basically like a story on what happened. I just encourage you to start reading books and that, and just build up your vocabulary.
Yeah, brilliant. And to carry on with you, Tony, like, what about transferable skills? Skills that you probably learned as a rugby player and possibly didn't realise you had, but now come to the fore in your daily work in the police force? Is there many of those, and are they good assets for you to have?
Rugby's like it's similar to the police. You know, you work as a team. In rugby, you got to have good communication skills. So communication is the most powerful tool when you're in the police, because if you can de-escalate a situation by just talking, instead of having a scrap and using your taser and that, and you know, that's a win for us. So I think those, you know, your communication skills are pretty important when you join the police. And teamwork as well. You know, having your mates back when the situation goes down. So that's just like being on the rugby field as well.
Healthy.
Yeah, I think like Tony said, I think the values you learn from rugby transfers naturally to police, and in police we hold those values quite strongly. Like Tony said, teamwork, professionalism, respect, your commitment to excellence, all the little things that sometimes we take for granted. In the police, it's very strong, and it's based there, and that's our base of our work in the police, you know. So I found that the transitioning to back to the police quite easy because those transferable skills were just easy transition right through, because they are like now I'm looking after a team of 10. It's important that you have that teamwork, the professionalism and respect for each other. You're committed to excellence all the time, you know, to be high performing. So and obviously, yeah, some, I mean, most of it would know that in your professional career, and you're always continually doing it. So that's an easy transition.
Yeah, nice. And In New Zealand, at least, I know that there's some not good statistics around offending through Polynesians, Maori, and Pacific Islanders. For both you and your cultural understanding and background, do you think that that's an asset that is real value in the force?
Oh, for me, yeah, I definitely. Never underplay your your role as a Pacifica person in the police, because you're a person of influence always when you're out in the community, and because of the language, the cultural background you come from, you have more of an understanding. So current situation, I went and spoke to a Samoan boy who's currently on a 24-hour curfew in my area. And, when I went and visited him, he goes to me, geez, you're the first brown cop I've seen around here for a long time. And, and it was natural for us to connect easy, And he said, yeah, some of those, saying the Palangi ones, they just talk down to you. That connection, and now, after about 2 months, he's happy to see me, and we just have a chat about family life and trying to change his life, don't underplay your role as a Pacific person, eh? Because you do have a strong influence, especially in the police, when they see you out and about.
Yeah, nice. And Tony, for you, obviously in Christchurch, it's obviously a different situation than in Auckland or South Auckland. And how do you find it being a Pacific Islander? You sort of touched on it before.
Yeah, so obviously here we don't have many Pasifika and Māori police officers, so half the time we're educating our seniors, our colleagues, our non-Pasifika, about what the process is. I went to a sudden death a couple of years ago with my senior, and it was a Pasifika family, and I said to him, you're going to expect to have like the whole family there, even the church there. So he was quite overwhelmed seeing, so many people at the house. And even when we went to the hospital, I said to him, they're all going to be there, and they're going to wait there until the body gets taken to the house. So, he was pretty shocked about that and didn't know the process. So, like Alfie said, we're actually a big influence in the police force, the Pacific people. So we just need more of you brothers to join.
That's the one. Just to carry on there, cops, I had a question come through from one of the players. Were you around during the mosque attacks, and what sort of impact did that have on you and also, the job that you play?
Yeah, so at the time I was in the team policing unit, so we travel in a group of five and close all the bars and that. So I was actually going to work when it happened. As soon as we got to work, they said, get armed up, and we had to go straight to the mosques and patrol the mosques. But yeah, it was the whole community affected us hugely. So just having us the police presence. I mean, we had people from all over New Zealand come and help us. We had cops from Auckland, Wellington, all the other districts. They all came down and helped us out. So that was awesome for them to help out the community.
Mm. And Alfie, you're obviously always adding something really positive, both of you, to these roles. Are there times where the job's really hard, especially emotionally and mentally?
Oh yeah, it's always a challenge. And you go to work every day, and it's a different day, And that's something exciting about the job too. Also, every day is always a different day, and there's always new challenges you face every day. Especially high risk jobs that you go to, as you probably hear through the media, the increase in firearms incidents in New Zealand is always rising, so if you're not used to obviously dealing with those situations, obviously the pressure is always on, fortunately we get trained in it, which is good, but when you come face to face with a situation like that, it's tough, eh? It's challenging, and the heart pounds 100 miles an hour, eh? So, but yeah, just like I said, I think as part of your career and rugby, when you always playing under pressure. I think it helps, actually. It helps when you're faced with those tough decisions. You're able to make those good decisions, you know. So some jobs when you're going to domestics, family harm incidents, where there's kids involved, and it's tough to see. It is emotional, and you get taught to not try to take it home, eh? You know, when you're working, try and leave the thing at work, and when you go home, you know, be at home with a family. But it is tough. You do face some difficult situations where it gets pretty emotional.
Some of the best things, but when you've had a bad day at work, it's just taking off the uniform and going home and seeing your family, and you having their family around you can make you forget about what happened at work. So yeah, that's some of the best things, is especially when you've had a close call, you know, you made it out there in one piece and going home to your family.
I can imagine it can often be very tough. But within that, there's some real parallels that I'm hearing there around rugby as well, and the skill sets that you would have learned there, leaving whatever happened on the field, a bad day at the office, and then going home and having family time, parking it a bit. To me, it sounds like what you guys are both talking about is actually, for the rugby players listening online, that's a skill set that you can really sort of add value to you in the police force. Moving on to a slightly lighter question. There's probably a lot of people wondering, you're coming out of a rugby career, you're thinking, yeah, the police is for me, holistically, it really suits me. What's the sort of pay range for a police officer in terms of entry? And obviously then experience, you can work your way up. But to start off with, what could someone be planning on getting on in terms of salary-wise?
I think everything's online, but from memory, I think when you go to college, I think it's about, you get paid to train up at college, so it's about around 45 or something like that. And then once you graduate, go back to district, then I think it goes up to around 65. And then each year it goes up. And obviously, Alfie's just promoted to sergeant, so he's on the big bucks now. So, yeah. The more experience you have, the pay just goes up. So, yeah.
And other benefits for being in the police force, like insurance and things like that. You get that, health insurance, those sorts of things.
Yeah, definitely. You join the police, even when you go to college, you go into a superannuation program in the police, where every dollar you put in, the police will put two. You know, and also I think it's just started now too, so you can also go into the KiwiSaver program too at the same time, and if you want to, and the police will put money into that as well. So the police support for you in the organization is very good. In terms of your work wise as well, during work there's incentives there as well. You get shift allowance, uniform allowance, all that kind of stuff, overtime allowance as well. You can make some good money out of the job. I mean, that's secondary to why we joined anyway. It is rewarding, and you said if you're in the job long enough, your superannuation will definitely reward you afterwards.
Excellent. And is it about time in the seat? Is it about experience in the change room? Or is it about the skill set and the things that you can learn along the way in terms of pegging your way up the order, like yourself, kind of sergeant? I'm imagining there's some extras you need to do.
Yeah, definitely. Like myself, being promoted, after you get promoted, your salary scale goes up. Then you go into a senior sergeant, which is even more. And then you go into inspector's role. Obviously, you're right in the big bucks up there when you get into inspector superintendent level. So because you're in a more managerial role, So you're probably looking at the big organizational picture, not on the cold face like us here in the ground. So I mean that's where you're looking to go in the organization. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of work and effort to get there, but like I said, the rewards are there if that's the way you want to go in the organization.
Yeah, nice. And in terms of those pathways, COPs, like how long does someone have to, well, I'm thinking online here, we've got Fai Feely, he watches a lot of CSI, he probably wants to be a detective. But to go into something like dog handling or armed offenders, how long in the seat do you need to be before you can specialise in those two types of areas?
Yep, so when you graduate from college, you have to do 2 years on the front line. And then after your 2 years on the front line, then you can venture up and go to different areas. You know, there's so many areas you can go to, like the dog handler. AOS is on call, so you could be working front line, and then if a firearms job comes in, then you'll get called in to do that. You know, there's detective. So there's so many areas you can go to. So 2 years on the front line first, and then you can venture out.
Yeah, awesome. There's some really good questions coming in. I know been sent through to me. Keep sending them through before we wind down in the next sort of 5 or 10 minutes. To carry on with one of them, question about going back to the recruitment process. If you were to pass that online test, do you immediately have to go to the police college, or can you then just shelve that and then wait to say until you're back in the country? You know the answer to that?
I'm not quite sure with that, but like I said, you get your put name in the hat. So if you do want to hold on, then you just let them know. As long as you've passed the test, then you can let them know when you are thinking that you want to go into college. Obviously, depending around your situation with family and stuff, I think the police are happy just to hold until you're ready. You know, so as long as you've passed everything and you've ticked off all the boxes, then you should be able to wait until you're ready to go down.
There's a part of the recruitment process. There's a scope involved in it. So you got to actually come back to do 40 hours of scope, which means you go on a ride along with the frontline staff and attend jobs, just to make sure that police is something you want to do.
Yeah, nice. And tell us about the police college experience. Was it an enjoyable one or a tough one?
Because I wasn't too flash at school, I struggled, you know, with the theory stuff. They do have people help you because they want you to pass college.
Yes.
They've invested in you. So, but, you know, every night I was on the books, and you had guys who, you know, like who've been to uni, and they'll do like an hour or two, and then, you know, on the piss. But, I struggled with the theory stuff at college. I was, looking forward to the weekends to relax and have a few beers.
And Alfie, for you, what was police college
like? Yeah. No, like Tony, it was tough. I think us PI boys and girls, if we haven't been in school for that long, haven't done school for that long, we do struggle. But like Tony said, the organisation has invested in you to go to college. I think they. From what I can remember, I think the organisation spend about $100,000 per person that goes down to college. So they're investing a lot of money in you, so they don't want you to fail. So there's a lot of so they do help you quite a bit down when you get to college. But yeah, it was tough for me too. I pretty much had to be in my room pretty much 24/7. Just studying, because the theory part is quite challenging, because they pretty much restrict. I mean, it's pretty much a 1 year. a one-year...
Lines at McDonald's are too long.
Yeah, I reckon.
Got the call up.
Yeah. The it's really a one-year diploma squashed down to 4 months, four 5 months. You know, so it's a lot of work, a lot of pressure. But I think that it has changed from when we did it. When we did it, was a lot of theory focused. But now with the online learning, you do a lot of that before you get into college.
Yeah.
So when you get into college, there's a lot more practical work there. So it's actually quite good in terms of that sense. So they put you more in terms of practical situations. So they sort of teach you certain situations of pressure and see how you react. You know. Yep, that involves weapons. It's all different scenarios. So they go through all different scenarios with you down there with them. Just to see what your reaction is like. Yes, I think in that sense, it's a little bit easier because you do a lot of your theory work, most of it online before you get onto college. And then once you go down there, pretty much the theory stuff, you're just redoing it again to refresh. But it's more a lot of practical situations down there.
In that process, I'm trying to think of the similarities between a rugby training camp. Probably pretty similar. A lot of pressure, testing. Were they actually, funny enough, they used to run at Police College, I remember. Do you get identified through those camps? This is a bit of a random question, actually. Is there a chance that they come and tap you on the shoulder and say, Mr. Coppolani, you're definitely a commando. We've seen those skills. You need to come with us. Does any of that happen?
When we were at college, there's they play out a lot of scenarios. You know, they'll get some guys play the bad man, and they just basically want to see how you would react to those situations. Like I said before, if you can use your comm skills, then you know, to help de-escalate the situation, then that's a win for us. And I think that's one of our main there was a big plus for us rugby players, because you know, we're pretty good on communications when we used to play rugby, and it showed when during the scenarios played at college. You know, we had some good communication skills going.
Yeah, brilliant. This might be a tough one, but is the recruitment processes in other countries, say Australia, you might know a fair bit of Australia, our closest neighbours, fairly similar? If a player was looking at trying maybe joining the force back there? You know any?
I've heard through some colleagues who've gone to Australia, who are now working as police officers in Australia, say that the recruitment process is a little bit easier than New Zealand. In terms of recruitment process, is a lot stricter, I think, compared to other countries. But definitely, with a lot of colleagues of mine who have just recently gone to Australia, they find it a lot easier. Yes, the money in Australia is two times better. I suppose the lifestyle too for some is the reason. Some of the reasons they've gone to move to Australia. But yeah, in terms of recruitment process, I think New Zealand's probably one of the strictest in terms of getting into the police.
Yeah, nice. If there's any more questions, throw them through. People, we're just going to wind down. Actually, one's just come through from Hawaii. How long have you spent at police college? So how long away from home?
16 weeks. So it's Monday to Friday and you get the weekends off. So most people went home in the weekends. Some even had their families move to Wellington just for the 16 weeks.
Yeah, nice. And I'm guessing right from that police college is when you start to build the camaraderie amongst the other group. What's the culture like within the police force, especially with there being not that many PI Māori policemen? Is it enjoyable environment?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be involved in some good groups. And you know, that's a big factor. You know, you want to wake up in the morning and look forward to going to work because of the people you work with. So yeah, I've been around some good people, and they actually look at me to for advice when we deal with our Māori and Pasifika. So no, I've been lucky so far.
Yeah, from me, like I said, it's similar to rugby. When you move to a new country to start a career, like in Japan or Europe, you know, you're always working with different people, people that you don't know, you meet for the first time. Yeah, you just get on with it because in the end, you're all working towards the same goal, and you have to work together to achieve those goals. You know, so yeah, so I think it's very similar. So I mean, if you don't get on, obviously, then your performance standards would, and your team as an organisation drops. You know, it doesn't you're not achieving what you want to achieve as a team and as an organisation. So yeah, you just there's always going to be conflicts, like normal team or family situations. But yeah, you just work it out, and you carry on.
Yeah, brilliant. Just as we start to wind it down, just thinking about that transition again, for you both. If there was to be a player who's starting to think, I really need to start looking at my options for life after rugby in whatever field, or if you were to come across the 20-year-old. Tone or Alfie and had some words of advice for them around preparing for life after rugby. Start with you, Klopp. So what would you pass on? What are the words of wisdom?
Probably just plan ahead, figure out what you want to do, life after rugby, and fully commit to it. I think if I had to go back, I would have been a bit wiser with my money. You know, the first couple of years I thought I was a man and spending money on, you know, at the bars and that with the boys, but yeah, I would have invested, I would have been a lot wiser with my money. So yeah, just plan ahead, boys, and fully commit to it.
Yeah, and from me, honestly, I mean, which was PIs, most people viewed me probably just only as a rugby player. You know, I wasn't really encouraged to do anything else. So that's like Tony said, look at in rugby, you're always developing good networks, you know, that you're at, you know, that with sponsors, business people who you're talking to at after match functions or so forth. Those are the networks you can tap into, that you can in terms of your career long term afterwards. Obviously, Aidan there and his team at the Pacific Rugby Players Association. I'm sure you guys have got contacts that could help you guys progress into your career after rugby. You know, like I said, when I left, I was happy to stay in my comfort zone, you know, all the time. But I encourage you guys to step out of that comfort zone and don't just look at rugby as the only place you can go to, you know. Always look beyond that, and challenge yourself to go beyond of where you think you're comfortable, you know. So yeah, it's like I said, when I joined the police, I never thought I could get through it because I didn't think that I was smart enough to do it, but I had to work hard to get through it, you know. So I've always wanted to be in the police since, like I said, I was young, because I've had family who inspired me to join the police. So it was just stepping out of my comfort zone and challenging myself to get through those tests and work hard to achieve it. And from someone who didn't do well at school, you know, and now I'm a sergeant in the police. I had to study hard to get through that, but I'm always challenging myself to go further, up the rank. You know, so I'm looking to sit the senior sergeant's exams probably in the next year or two, you know, and challenge myself to go further. So, yeah, don't be afraid to step out of a comfort zone and keep challenging yourself to get better and better.
That's awesome. Actually, quite inspirational, both of you. just to recap a little bit, I've learned a lot, and I'm sure everybody online here has, hearing you both share your experiences, but more importantly, everybody wondering about the detail, about the recruitment, the process, and quite encouraging to hear that you both had to put a lot of work into the theory side of the recruitment and joining the police force, did it, got there, and then now been really successful in a role that sounds like it's really rewarding, much like rugby. Gone from playing in stadiums that are being full, working in a pressure environment there, and taking those skills to now working in the police force and applying them to give back in the community. I think it's fantastic. I'd like to, unless there's anything else from both of you guys, really thank you for your time. It's actually quite enlightening, quite inspirational. Might have to look at a career change. But I've learned heaps. It's especially quite encouraging to hear for rugby players that the process has changed and the opportunity to do online, getting that started. I think that's a real opportunity. No doubt there might be some players who really want to drill down a bit more. We might put them in touch with you if that's okay, asking us further questions. But overall, thank you so much for your time. That you get on with your days. Nice shift for you, Alfie. Just came home, have a bit more, more rest, bro. And Cops is about to start his day. So thank you. And hopefully you've enjoyed it. And no doubt everybody here has as well.
Yeah, no, from me, thank you, Ev, for giving me the opportunity to come on the workshop. Thank you, everyone, for logging in and listening. It's always scary when you think you're coming to the end of your career and what to do next, eh? But like I said, there's always an opportunity and always challenges out there. But I'm sure with your background and your professional life, I'm sure you'll take it with both hands and leap and bounds and go for it. So, we'll hopefully catch up again.
Awesome. Yeah, just like what Alfie said, thank you for having us on. Hopefully, we'll see more of you guys join the blue. Cheers.
Awesome, brothers. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. Check out PacificRugbyPlayers.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter to stay on top of all news relating to Pacific Rugby Players and to find out when we drop our next episode of PRP Radio.